Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm glad you remember me. It's been about 6 weeks. I've had 5 weeks of different preachers in the last 5 weeks. I think last time I was preaching was like the Easter and the Ascension. So I'll go back to those topics to remind myself how to preach. In our Easter services, we began by affirming the faith we profess in the Apostles' Creed, which we said today, that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And my Easter theme was, we believe that a buried body began to breathe, because I like alliteration. Next, we looked at the event that happened 40 days after Easter. Could you get me a glass of water, please? Where we affirmed our apostolic faith that our risen Lord also rose into heaven. And the theme that day was, we believe our animated advocate actually ascended. 10 days after the Ascension, or 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover, or what we call Easter, there was another major event which was being annually celebrated in the church, and we call this event Pentecost, when God's Spirit was given to God's people. And today we affirm our apostolic faith, which says we believe in the Holy Spirit. And to continue my love of alliteration, today's theme is, wait for it, we believe our promised paraclete provides God's peace and power. What difference does God's Holy Spirit make to our Christian lives? Well, before we try to answer that, let's ask God to guide and teach us. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we were privileged to share in the joy of the baptism of little Albert, who is asleep ahead of time. Most people will at least give me 5 minutes before they drop off. That's not a cue for the rest of you. Today we're privileged to share in the joy of the baptism of little Albert, and baptism is a reminder of the promise of God's forgiveness through the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Forgiveness brings us peace with God. Providentially, the message of Pentecost is also about God's peace and power. But why do we need peace with God? It's a good question, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we need peace with God? Because according to the Bible, we are his enemies. This may come as a shock, but if we're not with God, then we're against him. Let me try to explain. It's fairly obvious to us that a pirate flying the Skull and Crossbones flag on his ship is not on friendly terms with the political authorities. Not only does his flag declare his rebellion, but his lifestyle displays utter disregard for most socially accepted norms and their associated laws. There would be no argument from us if the pirate was brought before a king and sentenced to prison for his crimes. Did you know that under international law, every merchant ship must be registered with a country known as its flag state? That country has jurisdiction over the vessel. So I want you to imagine a kind and gentle man with a large and happy family on an enormous container ship on which he refuses to display a flag. He always ignores territorial boundaries because he believes he poses no threat. No matter where he goes, he maintains that he is the master of his own vessel. He is not aggressively opposed to the authorities. He just chooses to be blindly ignorant of their rules and expectations. He's not a pirate, and yet he would be charged with a crime for his refusal to conform to the law. Heard my voice last. So what happens when you give it 5 weeks off? It doesn't want to come back. God has jurisdiction over every person he has made. Technically, we should all be flying his flag and obeying his rules. Now, some people do live like pirates in outright rebellion against God, but others simply ignore him and live what they perceive to be wonderful lives without displaying any flag of allegiance. And do you remember the story of the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son? He lowers the flag of his father's authority and hoists his own flag of independence. Having ignored his father's love, or having chosen to live without it, the son becomes dead to his father. And that's the same way God sees us when we wander away from him or reject him or outright rebel against him. We are dead to him. Because we are no longer with him, we are considered to be against him. We are his enemies. The Bible says we're all like that. We've all wandered away like lost sheep. We are all like ships that have taken down God's flag and hoisted up our own flag. But we cannot ignore God's authority forever. So what can we do if we want to come home like the prodigal son? If we want to come home to our father? If we want to return to the fold as lost sheep? Well, that's easier said than done. As enemies of God, we deserve God's judgment. As our just judge, God cannot allow our sin to go unpunished. But as our loving Father, he greatly desires a reconciled relationship with us. Like the father in the parable, he was longing for his son, waiting for his son to come back, ran out to him, wanting to have that reconciled relationship. So God sends Jesus to take the judgment that we deserve. The Bible says that on the cross, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God makes it possible for us to change from being his enemies into being his friends, and from being his friends into being his children. God offers us peace. Peace with God. And the promise of peace through the power of Christ is God's primary purpose. That's all he's on about. And God always keeps his promises. God promised to send a Messiah to rescue his people, and so he sent Jesus. God promised to provide forgiveness, and so Jesus died for our sins on the cross. God promised to empower his people, so he gave us his Spirit at Pentecost. God so much wants us to be with him that he comes to be with us through his Spirit as a kind of foretaste of heaven when we accept his forgiveness through Jesus. So let's take some time now to review the significance of this event that we call Pentecost. Let's have a little background. The book of Acts that we read from, the Acts of the Apostles it's called, not that other kind of Acts that we chop wood with. It's not the Acts of the Apostles, so they won't go around chopping people up. The book of the Acts of the Apostles is the sequel to Luke's Gospel, written by the same author. Both begin with a message to Theophilus, the intended recipient of both books. In his opening paragraph, Luke sets the scene for the story he will now go on to tell after the Gospel. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, he says, "In the first book, Theophilus," that was Luke's Gospel, "I wrote to you all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning." So he tells us all about the life and teaching of Jesus. "Until the day that he was taken up to heaven, the ascension of Jesus. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And after his suffering," which is the crucifixion, "he presented himself alive to many by convincing proofs," the resurrection. "Appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now," referring to the day of Pentecost. So we could say that Luke's Gospel tells us what happened to Jesus, but his sequel, the book of Acts, tells us what happens to the followers of Jesus. The original followers of Jesus were Jews, and so they were greatly influenced by Jewish tradition and teaching. And so it might be helpful for us to review the cultural context of this day of Pentecost from the Jewish perspective, to gain some greater understanding of the significance that it had in the life of the early church. So a little bit of the background and impact of these festivals that were happening at the time. There were three major Jewish pilgrimage festivals, meaning three times when everyone was encouraged to come to Jerusalem. And that was Passover, Pentecost, and the Festival of Tabernacles. Passover was the festival, during this festival, it was when Jesus died and rose again, what we call Easter. But Passover remembered and looked back to and celebrated the escape or the rescue from Egypt, which you read about in the book of Exodus. And it was there, at that Passover time, that a sacrificed lamb died in the place of the firstborn sons of the Hebrews when God's judgment passed over Egypt in the 10th and final plague. And this enabled the rescue and redemption of God's people. And Christians have always seen this as a picture of what Jesus does for us. For the Bible says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So it had incredible significance this time, this period of time, for those first Jewish Christians. We get to the time of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, or what we call Easter. It was originally connected with the wheat harvest, but was also celebrated as the time of the giving of the Torah, which is the Jewish law, the law of Moses, the law from God or the word of God. We're celebrating the wheat harvest and the giving of the word. And Jesus made a connection between the two when he said, people shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Christians expanded the Jewish festival tradition to incorporate Jesus as the true bread from heaven and as the living word of God. And what was previously celebrated as the giving of God's law on tablets of stone was now celebrated as the giving of God's Spirit who writes God's law on our hearts. Again, the connection between the festival and what the church came to believe. And the Festival of Tabernacles, also known as the Festival of Booths, was celebrated at the end of the harvest. And this was a reminder of God's presence with his people, especially during those 40 years of wandering after escaping from slavery in Egypt. And they joyfully celebrated God's deliverance, God's protection, his provision, his faithfulness. And Christians remember that Jesus is God's Son who tabernacled amongst us, and that now the Holy Spirit tabernacles within us. It is the Holy Spirit now who delivers, protects, provides, and assures us of God's faithfulness to his promise to forgive us and to provide an eternal and secure future for us. So on each of these festivals, these pilgrimage festivals to Jerusalem, the city of God was full of the people of God who were looking back with gratitude and looking forward in faith, trust, and hope. So on that first Pentecost after Easter, Jerusalem was full of Jewish pilgrims who were celebrating the way God provided for them and spoke to them. Christians now celebrate the way God, through his Holy Spirit, works in us to provide for others and speaks through us to bring God's word to the world. Remember what Jesus said would happen in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They would receive power, but not just power to perform miracles, although that did happen. They received power to witness to the truth about who Jesus is and what he has done. They would tell the world that God's promise of forgiveness is fulfilled in Jesus. They would be given the power to proclaim God's promise of peace. Their lives would not be peaceful. They would experience great suffering and persecution. But through it all, through the assurance of the presence of God by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, they would experience a peace that passes understanding. They would know the peace and the presence of Christ. So Pentecost is all about God's peace and power. Those first disciples of Jesus were empowered to proclaim the peace that God provides when people put their trust in Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. It's not COVID. On that first Pentecost, after a poor carpenter died on a wooden cross, Thanks, I'll need a refill. Yes. On that first Pentecost, after a poor carpenter died on a wooden cross, thousands of people began putting their faith and trust in that same Jesus as God's Son and as their Saviour and Lord. 3,000 people on that one day did that. And they were baptized to symbolize how God had washed away their guilt and shame and to declare their allegiance and commitment to Jesus as their living Lord and King. So how wonderfully appropriate it is that we could share in Albert's baptism today. Sometimes we read the great stories of the Bible and we wish that we could have been there to experience those great occasions firsthand. What would it have been like to have walked in the garden with God, the Garden of Eden, to be on the ark with Noah, to cross the Red Sea on dry ground with Moses, or to climb Mount Sinai with him and receive the Ten Commandments, to sit on the throne with David or Solomon, to be in the lion's den with Daniel, to be with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, to hear Jesus teach or to see him perform miracles, to watch him die and to see him risen from the dead. How marvellous to be there and be part of that story. But what about Pentecost? The gift of God's Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was not a once-off occasion. All followers of Jesus are promised that same gift of God's Holy Spirit. Remember what Peter said to the crowd that day, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and for all who are far away." Remember, we've wandered away from God. "Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him," calls back to him. So when we confess our sins, God doesn't just send in a cleaner to cleanse us. God sends in his Holy Spirit to change us and to empower us to live like Jesus. God doesn't just post us a message of encouragement. He provides the permanent presence of the encourager, or the helper, or that word, the paraclete, which means the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just present us with a mission. He provides us with the power to achieve the goal. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we need to say them. That's really quite good, isn't it? It doesn't mention the voice, the throat. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we need them. To illustrate this, how I'm always saying how great God is, his sovereignty and the way timing happens, I want to share with you an SMS I received in the last couple of days from Richard Davies, our friend and missionary with the Indigenous people in North Australia. He said, "A man and his wife, Kevin and Katrina, asked us to pray with them tonight. We talked for a while and they ended up asking Jesus into their lives. Praise the Lord. Please pass this on to the church and pray that they keep going because others will try to pull them back. Richard and Sue." That's a great story in itself, but in the context of Pentecost, it is quite amazing. What happened at Pentecost so long ago continues to happen today. The Holy Spirit continues to empower God's people to proclaim the truth about Jesus. And those who hear the message are still repenting and still believing in Jesus. They are still receiving forgiveness and the gift of God's Holy Spirit. How else would it be possible for this Christian message to suffer so much persecution and yet spread so far throughout the world? It can only be by the grace of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through those people who repent and believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even today in Greenwich, we can still be part of this ongoing Bible story. Perhaps God's power has opened your eyes today to perceive your need of Jesus and the forgiveness that he provides. Perhaps today is the day you come back to the fold and rejoin God's family by raising God's flag instead of your own flag over the ship of your life. Perhaps today is the day that you find peace with God. And if you want to respond to God's call on your life in that way, then speak to us after the service. And if you are already a follower of Jesus, then rejoice in this day of Pentecost, We have been given the power to perceive and to proclaim God's peace. As Christians, we believe our promised paraclete provides God's peace and power. It's up to us to turn on the switch and let that power flow in us and through us. Let's pray that God might help us to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and saving us and reconciling us to yourself as your family. We thank you for the reminder of Pentecost that your Holy Spirit provides us the power to experience and to express the peace you provide through Jesus. May we not be ashamed to live under his flag, and may our lives bring you glory and honor in all we do and say as we seek to become more like Christ and to tell others about him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.